Hi everyone, and thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today, we have two very special guests. They are the authors of Change 3.0, Seven Essential Principles for Organizational Change from Within, Wendy Nieuwenhill and Maaike Nudengaard. How are you today, guys?
Very well, thank you.
It's great to have you on the podcast, and of course it's always a pleasure to be talking to more than one guest at the same time. And of course, for our audience, to give you a bit of background, Wendy has facilitated organizations and teams to realize changes together since 1997 using a background in communication science, languages, sociology, and psychology. And Maaike started her career in 2001 as a clinical psychologist, then retrained as a leadership trainer and consultant. And we're very happy to have you on the podcast here today to talk about Change 3.0. But before we get into the book itself, guys, I really want to ask you, what inspired you to become authors and get to writing?
Well, thank you for that question. Basically, what inspired us is that we were doing clean language trainings in the Netherlands, Dutch-based, starting 2006, and we got very often questions from participants about, would you like to write a book about this in Dutch? And since clean language isn't our core business, we are heavily inspired by it, but it's not our core business, we thought, let's write a book then about what is our core business, change in organizations. So that's how we came on writing that book, by looking into the stories, the cases, the projects that we did that were successful, and of course also those that weren't. And from that, this book emerged, basically.
Fantastic. And let's talk a bit about the book. Can you give our audience a bit of an overview of what Change 3.0 is in practice, and how does it work?
Oh yeah, that's a tricky question, isn't it? That's why we had to write a whole book about it, of course. But I'll try to summarize it anyway. Change 3.0, the book is about how you can achieve sustainable change in organizations. And it takes away the knowledge of how human behavior, group behavior changes naturally in and of itself. Because we very much noticed in those projects that Maaike was already referring to that were the basis of coming to these seven principles, the essence of whether a change is happening or not and whether it's sustainable or not lies with behavior. If people don't do it, to put it dumbly, it doesn't happen. So whether you have beautiful structures in place, processes, if people don't act on them, then nothing will happen. So we found, or we even uncovered, I think is the right term to use here, in this project, seven of those essential principles to help create this kind of behavioral lasting change. And to do that, rather than pushing a change that you've already established beforehand, which is what we call more the 1.0 and 2.0 changes, you create the context for a change to be able to emerge from within in a natural and lasting way.
Yeah, fascinating. And you briefly mentioned there the seven principles, and I want to get back to those. But firstly, I want to ask you guys a bit of an all-rounder question, because engaging people in any sort of change is always a difficult process, and there are many hurdles and challenges to face within that. But I think a very, very major one is changing and creating process without people becoming directionless. So how do we engage the workforce in this change process without losing a sense of direction?
Definitely. That's a very relevant question. It seems like our brain is very capable in thinking of either this or that. It is, in our point of view, it is not either completely top-down, nor is it completely bottom-up. The Change 3.0 approach is about mixing. It's about the ends principle. So it's and this and that. There's a bit of both involved. And if we look at the perspective from the leadership, we feel that what is really necessary and sometimes lacking is that leadership teams have to be very clear in the playing field. So if we are working on this change or this process or this development, what's the playing field that we're in? What are the terms of engagement? What are the rules that we have to abide by, all of us? And if that is not clear, then you see that people get confused and sort of lost in not in translation, but lost in changing. So that is that, and it might sound simple and obvious, but that actually requires a very thorough examination from the leadership position. So if this is the change that we want, what kind of leadership behavior is needed for that from us as leaders? And that's a tough challenge to take on.
Yeah, absolutely. And going forward, we already briefly mentioned the seven principles, but if possible, can you perhaps give the audience a very brief overview on what they essentially are and how do they work in practice?
Yeah, and it ties into what Mike was just saying as well. So the seven principles, again, they are principles, they're not steps to take. And I think that's an important distinction to make before going into them. So it's a way of looking away. They're principles to take on board, and some will be more important in some settings than others. But to actually do what you're asking me, which is just outlining them as well. The first essential principle is about outcome orientation. It's about putting forward what you want to have happen, which is not the same necessarily as solving a problem. So it's really focusing us if we have a problem potentially, or if we want to have something happen, let's explore that in depth. But that's the general outline out there. That's what you want to achieve in the end. It needs to be concrete enough to work with, but not so concrete that it becomes a matter of just writing down, this is what you need to do from now on, because you want to work with what's happening in the organization. And that's one of the other principles, is working with what is, which is about translating those desired outcomes into day-to-day practical changes that you're going to be doing on every level in the organization, but also taking on board what is just happening. So if I start to change my behavior in a certain way, let's say I'm starting to limit people from now on in a better way, what's the effect in the organization? What happens for real? Does it have the effect we want already, or do we need to change anything? Now, in the middle of all that is ownership. It's ownership on what you want, but also ownership on what you're doing. It's ownership on your own perspective. So a lot of what we do as well in these processes is exploring perceptions, which is another one of the principles, and exploring them in a way, and this is where the clean language background comes in as well, in a way that takes away what I think might be true for you, but really explores your perception in and of itself. And to do that, that's only useful in the context of groups, and organizations are groups in a certain way, if you also start connecting them afterwards. And that's not you as an outside facilitator, leader, consultant, or whoever, but it's making the connecting of perceptions happen from within again. And then we've got two more left for the quick overview, which one of them is about congruence. So being congruent in your behavior, but also in processes, in appraisal methodologies is a classic one. So we want one thing to happen, but we, in our appraisal, we focus on something different. So making all of that congruent, but also the leadership behavior that Mike was referring to earlier. And then last but not least, and it sort of becomes clear as I'm talking through them probably, is patience and perseverance. So as you can see, it's not a plan you make somewhere and you implement, and then at the end you start measuring again. It's about continuously working on the change, which is also then about repetition sometimes, about keeping being confronted with your own patterns, keeping being confronted with other people's patterns. So it doesn't necessarily take more time in the end, but it's a different way of perceiving change, which requires more of this patience, but also of the perseverance. So if it doesn't work in three ways, are we going to stop? Or are we going to try a fourth way? Whereas, as a note, sometimes stopping is a very useful decision to make as well. Mm-hmm. So those are the seven principles outlined, and as I realize as I'm talking about them, I'm seeing the visual in which they're all interconnected, because none of them is separate from the rest.
Right.
I think it is about the interactions between them that makes a difference in the end.
Wow, fascinating stuff. And We have a very diverse audience of managers, leaders, and people just starting off in their career that listen to the podcast. And as you've just given us the great strategy behind the seven principles and what they are in overview, can you perhaps give our listeners a tip each on how they can start implementing them and in way implementing Change 3.0? Now, the first step, of course, would be to get the book. But do you have any insights personally for our listeners?
Oh, yeah. Do you mean how we use them?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. There are many, many ways in which we use them. One example that we can give is that we work with a group of associates. We work together. They're not our employees, but they are from their own business, work together with us, and we with them. And one of the things that we thought about is if we want that to work the way we want it to work, so what's our own desired outcome, that's step one. And the next step is what is the joint desired outcome that we as a group share together. Also, there are some sort of rules and regulations that we from our company and our business have stated, this is what is needed for us, this is what we want. Are you willing to join, given that this is sort of the playing field? And together with our associates, we are now with six associates apart from us, we develop by working together. So what does it exactly mean to be working the way we are? And that's an ongoing process that is in which all those seven principles play a natural role.
Great, fantastic.
Can I add another one to that? Because I think if you're listening to this and you're a leader somewhere or just starting up even, I might want to give you conflicting advice, which is not unusual, I'm afraid, for me. Because on one hand, I would say make sure you get a really good idea, a concrete idea, make it almost plastic in terms of what you want to have happen. What is it, what I want to achieve? How would I want things to be when they are the way I would like them to be? Be very aware that it's just your idea, your image. But make that so concrete you can always smell it, taste it, try it out. So what would it be like? Make that really vivid. And on the other hand, and this is the contradicting advice, I would also recommend make sure you don't spend too much time making those plans and thinking it all out and putting it down into structures, strategies, processes, etc. But actually start today if you can. So pick out one thing that you can do differently today that will potentially get you more of what you want to have happen. Because that's where it starts. It doesn't start with big plans. They tend to disappear into big drawers. But the actions are what will remain in the end. So start today, but think it through, but start today.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, there's some great insight there. And to close off, guys, there is one question I ask everyone that actually comes on the podcast, and mm-hmm. It's a bit more general one, and it is, what are you currently reading, or do you perhaps have any recommendations for our listeners to have a good read?
You should have a visual now. We've got piles of books that we're reading right now, but very much in the matter. I've just finished one. I just started a new one. And you're asking me what I'm reading and what recommendations are. They're different again to make it easier for you. I just finished up a book by Adam Kahane called Power and Love, which is extremely fascinating. Again, in its simplicity in words, but in its complexity in doing it, it's about the balance between making things happen and doing it and going for it, the willpower side and creating stuff. And the other side of, which is more about the, as he calls it, healing, which I always find a tricky term, but it's about joining up things that are supposed to come together. It's the softer side of any kind of change, which is incredibly fascinating. And he's got incredible stories, especially about where he's applied these things. So that's one that I just finished. And right now I'm reading up on the last book of Taleb. You've seen Nicholas Taleb. His last book is called Skin in the Game. And I can't really say how I find it yet because I've just started it. But I'm a big, big fan of his former book, which is called Anti-Fragile, which, again, is actually become part of our English translation of the book as well. So it's developed since the Dutch version came out. And anti-fragility as a concept has become part of the book even.
It is. So you were asking two questions. What are we reading currently? Wendy and I read the same books and different books as well to also stretch one another.
Right.
I'm currently reading a Dutch book. You could translate it to Leading Differently, which is about how do you make your organization more, it's not so much purpose-driven, but more purpose-congruent, I'd say. So that's an interesting read by Wouter Hart, for all you Dutch speakers. A book that I would definitely recommend, apart from the books that Wendy already mentioned, is also Viral Change by Leandra Herrero, and also from Caitlin Walker, British author as well, who's written From Content to Curiosity. And those are two books that we feel very well write about how can you make change happen, how can you make developments in an organization happen in a natural way without the consultant, the external factor taking over, because I think that's a huge liability in every change process.
Fantastic. And of course, there's a very good list for our listeners there to sink their teeth into. So if you liked the sound of these books, they'll be linked in the description below. So you can check them out yourselves. But with that, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you both.
Well, you're very welcome. And thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for your time as well.
And of course, if you enjoyed our conversation today and if you would like to know more about Change 3.0, please do check out the links in the description below where you can find out everything about our conversation, everything about the book, of course, purchase links and social media profiles where you can reach out to us and let us know what you think about today's podcast. We're always look forward to the feedback from our audience, and I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on the conversation today, and as always, we very much look forward to seeing you next week.